Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, just the facts. And now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, disagreements, pretty dance numbers, other stuff at facebook.com/ballisticradio.
We do occasionally have some good information.
Do we?
Occasionally.
I guess. Co-hosting with me, the newly single, Matt, the Minion! How are you, Mr. Minion?
I am... Yeah.
You're great.
I'm doing pretty good.
You're like, stop talking about it. I had to break up with the Minion because I'm just at a point in my life where I couldn't dedicate the time necessary to maintain the relationship, but we're going to keep working together moving forward.
Yes. We are very civil.
Right. It was... Wow, this got really gay, and William's not even on yet. Zing. So anyway, we're going to be joined shortly by William Petty, who is pretty much the car dude now. One of the car dudes. He's certainly the most notable one currently. And I'll talk about what I mean. He's shaking his head right now. I can tell. Luckily, he's on hold, though, so he can't make fun of me back. Just a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s, ARs, and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. So, joining us this evening, Mr. William Petty. Hey, man, how's it going?
What's going on, John? How are you, brother?
Oh, can't complain. I was arguing with people online before we started the show. I actually heard our music come on. I'm like, oh, I should pay attention. So
no, not you instigating online.
I wasn't instigating, but I will tell you this. Someone is suggesting you'll appreciate this. Someone is suggesting 9B PLE, which is, for those that don't know, a 9mm 115 grain plus P plus hollow point for a duty round because it works really good shooting pigs.
True story, man.
I know, right?
It's what blows my mind about that? The one thing that's supposed to be like scientific in our community and our industry or a line of work or whatever, like ballistics, the one thing that's supposed to be like empirical is, and you have a bunch of dudes like shooting watermelons out in their backyard. You know, like it's not. It's anything but.
Right. I don't know, man. It's the difference between, you know, anecdotal evidence versus scientific.
Science is overrated.
I know, right? What else, man? What else is going on?
What's happening, man? What are you up to?
What am I up to? I am, once again, arguing with people on the internet, working on a couple gun projects with people. Getting ready to go take an Ernest Langdon class this coming weekend. The Minion's going to ECQC, so he's going to be real sore come Monday. I'm looking forward
to it. Nice.
I know, right?
Yeah, you know, Ernest, so Steve Fisher and I are running a class together in December in California, and Ernest is supposed to come out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, to a vehicle class. So we'll see what that's all about. I just picked up a CZ Shadow SP01, so I'm looking forward to being shown how to really work a double single.
Well, see,
the dark arts.
Hey, once you get that first shot down, man, that's it. You know, everyone likes.
I pretty much just consider the first shot like a warning shot, and then we can get to work.
No, you know? No. See, it's weird because when I was running a 226, like a lot, my first shot was the one that I was most accurate with, like strong handle, handle. Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, a lot of people say, "Well, you're learning two triggers. You're learning two triggers." That's not true. You're learning one trigger. And then you're shooting, you know, learning the reset on your gun, just like anything else. It's the way I looked at it, at least. And it worked out pretty well for me that way. But
well, he is the man when it comes to the double single. So
yes, he
what
is.
Are you going to be running out of that class?
One of my Borsight guns, probably.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to win that.
Didn't you have a Wilson Beretta?
I do have a Wilson Beretta, but I'll tell you, man.
You're gonna take an Ernest Langdon class and not run a Beretta. Man.
I might run the Beretta day one. We'll see. I'll tell you why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it, and I'll because otherwise I'd be using my single stack 1911 from Wilson Combat that we've been testing. But the reason why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it is because I have got the most rounds through anything is through a Glock. Immeasurably, I shoot them just a tiny bit better than anything else, whether or not I like them very much. And for whatever reason, I am hung up on getting a fast coin, which I know doesn't actually.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I remember you were saying that the other day, and when we were talking, and you're like, "Yeah, I'm going to get my fast coin." I'm like SAS, like.
Yeah, no, not
yeah,
quite
fast.
Gotcha. It's one of those arbitrary things that doesn't actually matter, but it's the first standard that I ever started shooting when I got serious into this. So there's like a weird nostalgia thing going on where it's sort of kind of important to me. I don't know. It's a personal goal I set like 4 or 5 years ago before I knew what actually mattered. And even though I still know what matters now, I'm still kind of on that first personal goal I set. If that
no,
makes sense.
It's great, man. It's awesome that Todd passed that over to Ernie. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. So, well, hey, let's get on to the, wow, we're almost into the second segment. We haven't actually talked about what I wanted to talk about with you, but so you're kind of the vehicle based tactics dude right now. There's some other guys doing some really cool work, but right now you're sort of at the forefront of everything and all that. And I know I've had you on before and talked about this a little bit, but I wanted to get you back on and just sort of talk about things a little bit more.
Okay.
What do you think the validity of people being concerned about vehicle tactics is for civilians? I know it's a big deal for cops, but do you think not enough civilians pay enough attention to that? We got about a minute left in this segment, then we'll get in more in depth.
Well, I mean, you know, we know it happens. I mean, obviously the frequency is lower than, say, structure encounters and things like that, but if you are at your level of training to where you've done the square range stuff, you've done structure training, why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know, we know it happens. So just to say that you are going to get out and get into a gunfight every day around a vehicle doesn't mean it's not a valid form of training. That's kind of my thought on it.
Well, and you could almost make the argument, people spend more time in their cars almost these days than they do anywhere else, don't they?
They do. I mean, I know I do. I spend a metric ton of time in the cars. And not only that, just around cars. So, you know, walking through parking lots, right? Walking to your car, walking from your car, things like that. It's just another element. It's just like low light or structure work or anything else to be fully rounded as an individual. I don't see why you wouldn't.
Well, you know, I don't know. Hey, we got to go to break. We're talking with William Petty. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to apparently the last segment of Ballistic Radio, because this is the music we play at the end and you suck, Jake. This segment brought to you by Darkstar Gear. Whether you know the color of the boathouse at Hereford or only know the color of your mom's basement like Jake does, Darkstar Gear has a solution to your gear carrying needs. Jake won't get any, though. Check out their clip-on holster for small semi-autos and revolvers, or they're a highly adjustable full-size AOWB holster we're not giving to Jake. They even have a belt wrap sheath for popular fixed-blade centerline knives to really tie your EDC together. Like that one rug I used to have that Jake peed on. Check out the holster used by myself and many of the show guests, but not Jake. We even let the minion have one because he's way better than Jake is.
And mine is green.
Find out more at darkstargear.com. Hey, Jake, how are you? He waved. Well, this is okay, though. See, this is funny. This is good radio.
We include everyone.
I know. They just don't always want to be included. Anyway, joining us, William Petty. William, how are you?
Good, brother.
You're better than Jake, so that's something, right?
Yeah, normally I just stick in my pants.
Oh.
Yep.
Anyway.
For this guy, or if I've got a sock handy.
Oh man. So anyway, what we're talking about, wow, Jake's like, I quit. Well, if my producer walks out right now, I'm going to blame someone other than me because I have an external locus of control and nothing's my fault. We're talking vehicle tactics and how much Jake sucks this week. And we've got William Petty on. So, Matt, what are the big concerns, I guess, when we're working around cars or when we start talking about cars? Is there anything in particular that people don't think of that maybe they should?
Well, you know, the biggest thing with vehicles is that we've got to, like, unteach a lot of the stuff that's been taught over the last 20 or 30 years. So when we really start to look at vehicle ballistics, it's kind of we've put the cart before the horse in a lot of things. There are a lot of guys still out there teaching that the engine block and tires are the only ballistic cover on a vehicle, and that most of the vehicle is concealment, not cover.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's certainly not the case. So what we've done with the vehicle program is we've kind of reverse engineered the car and come up with a new set of guidelines for ballistics. And then we build our tactics based off of that. So for the longest time in law enforcement and the civilian sector, we would set a set of tactics and then hope that the ballistics matched up with those tactics, as opposed to, you know, dissecting the structure or the container or the vehicle or whatever you're using and then building a set of tactics around that. So most people are pretty surprised to understand that there are 16 points of 308 stopping cover on a four-door car, 18 points of cover on a SUV, van, things like that. So we really get into really it's just a lot of unlearning. And then once we get back to ground zero, then we go from there.
So terminal ballistics are sort of an interest of mine. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot when we really start studying that, like you said, is intermediate barrier performance. Now, when you say there's 16 points of cover on a vehicle, most people, when they start talking about that, you know, they'll say something like the engine block.
Right.
You know, maybe a wheel well behind a, you know, a tire or something like that.
Sure.
What are some of the others?
Well, we start looking at the actual frame. You know, the vehicle is designed for two things, right? So the vehicle is designed to get you from point A to point B, right? And then the vehicle is designed to protect the occupants. So when we start looking at that, the vehicle itself is designed to absorb kinetic energy, which is exactly what we're launching downrange. So we start looking at the structure of the vehicle and then developing, you know, TTPs or protocol and tactics based off of that structure itself.
Okay. So what got you looking at all that? I mean, what was the impetus behind you going, huh, this is not the way that they say it is. I need to examine this.
Well, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention. And, you know, I started off as a cop out in Albuquerque in 03. And there were a lot of guys on a national level and locally that were losing one-on-one gunfights or skirmishes around cars. And at the time, I was working out of the range and was a firearms instructor on the ERT, all that good stuff. And we started looking at, hey, there's got to be a better way to skin the cat, right? There's got to be a better way to work around these vehicles. You know, when I went through the academy, they were saying, ditch the car. There's no cover on a car, or fight around the engine block or fight around the tires. But, you know, I mean, laying on the ground huddled up behind a tire is not exactly what comes to mind when you're talking about, you know, winning the fight or advancing the or pressing the action. So it kind of started from there and then trickled through. I went spent a couple of years over in the Middle East, worked on some stuff over there, and then came back and now just refined it a little more. And it is what it is today is vehicle TTP.
Okay, so one of the things that you just pointed out, you know, staying huddled around a tire or something like that is not your idea of pressing the fight or winning the fight. So what you're talking about
Sure.
there is when you limit your mobility that much, the cover's only as good as long as someone doesn't want to take it away from you?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay in a worst-case scenario, but most gunfights start off in a worst-case scenario. You know, you have the opportunity to mold the situation the way you want it to be molded, you know?
Right.
And so obviously, mobility and what we see and the information that we process comes into play. So if I were to ask you a math question, right, and it didn't matter what the math question was, and I just stared at you.
Well, it does matter if it's more than 10. I mean, if the answer is more than 10, then I'm going to have a problem.
Well, let's say I just ask you a basic algebra problem, but I never actually asked the question. I just stared at you.
Right.
And never gave you any information. Well, you couldn't give me the answer because you didn't have the information. And vision is how we process information in gunfighting and in, you know, problem solving, especially when it comes to working around vehicles. So therefore, we need to be in a position where we can not only see, but we can also move. So we start working on, you know, elevated or higher positions of the vehicle versus, you know, lower positions of the vehicle. So it's an interesting thing when we started looking at, and then we talked a little bit about this on the phone, when we started looking at all the officer-involved shootings that we have out there, right? So we're getting more and more, you know, because video cameras are now prevalent. And we start looking at officer-involved engagements and some civilian-involved engagements around cars. And then when I was running force-on-force scenarios, I started noticing a trend that the person from the rear of the vehicle usually won over the person in the front of the vehicle. And I didn't know why that was. I just started, like, writing down this big spreadsheet, right?
Yeah.
And what we know now after further review is that about 70% of the time, the person at the rear of the vehicle wins the engagement over the person at the front of the vehicle. And the reason that is one, A, the rear of the vehicle provides more ballistic protection. I know we're slaughtering a sacred cow over there because obviously there's not an engine back there unless you're fighting from a Volkswagen.
All right. Or a Porsche. I mean, so you got to think big, William. You got to think big. Yeah.
You know, my boss has one, but he won't let me ever drive it, so I don't know what's up with that. But
it's because you'd leave your turn indicator
right
out on the highway.
What's that?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so it's a couple of things, right? So we find that the people at the back of the car often win over the people at the front of the car, and the reason for that is there's more ballistic protection at the rear of the vehicle, which we delve into in the class. And also it has a lot to do with, you know, our mobility and our vision, having the high ground, you know. So when guys start talking about high ground, a lot of the times they start naming, well, you know, there's a guy on the second story balcony or there's a guy, you know, in a very elevated position. But sometimes high ground can just be a foot or two, right? High ground doesn't have to be the second story or the third story. High ground can just be sometimes even just a few inches, depending on the rake of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And the person at the rear of the vehicle has high ground over the person at the front of the vehicle. This is something that we do. We do a dueling drill, a force-on-force duel. Not the Russian kind of, like, confidence drill, but a force-on-force dueling drill in the vehicle or around in the vehicle classes where we knock out all the glass and have people set up. And the first one gets tagged is out, and the winner stays. And we rotate it through. And after everyone goes through, we start noticing the common trends, right? The commonality of these drills is that the person from the rear of the car often wins. So it's interesting.
So when you're doing that drill in class, do you have to rock, paper, scissors to see who ends up at the rear of the car at the start? Or is that just sort of a...
Well, when I'm running the instructor version, they know all the answers to the test. So I tell them what we're looking for because it's an instructor level class.
Right.
At an end user class, I don't let them know.
Okay.
You know, so they just kind of start figuring it out. But it's very, very blatantly obvious. So if you're an end user and you're planning to come to class, your lips are sealed.
Right. Well, luckily no one listens to the show, William. I mean, not at all.
There are going to be tens of people now armed with this knowledge.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, like 5, 10, 100,000, something like that. You know, something.
Yep.
But so we got to go to break in about a minute and a half. Other than the people that fight from the rear of the vehicle tend to win over the people fighting from the front. Is there anything else that was really surprising to you when you started getting into this?
Well, I guess probably the ballistics are the most mind-blowing part. You know, we talk about the glass, and, you know, everyone's all about their 7.62x39, their AK rounds, or their the 308 rounds, but then when we show common angles of glass defeating those rounds time and time and time again, which we demo and show in the video that we have coming out next month.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing. Like every time I see it, I'm floored, you know? I mean, I've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times now, but it's still every time we watch it, it's just mind blowing. You have a 308 and it can't get through two panes of glass.
Right.
It's mind boggling.
Well, I was out in Iowa doing a thing, oddly enough, about I was helping Melody Lauer from Lima Tunes out with a purse carry video. And, you know, I'm a ballistics guy, and one of the things that she was curious about was whether or not rounds would actually make it through a purse. And one of the funny things that I showed her was that we just had lunch that was laying around. I'm like, watch this. I shot through a ham sandwich, you know, with a as an intermediate barrier, and the bullet, you know, goes 5 feet past that and is keyholing the target like 4 inches to the left of what I was aiming at, just with a ham sandwich.
Yep.
You know, it's
well, that's why. Let
me interrupt real quick. Hold that thought because we got to go to break. We're talking with William Petty right now. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms, parts, and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Baird, Sig Sauer, and many more, as well as premium AR pattern rifles. Whether you are looking to protect yourself, are a first-time gun buyer, or a competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for Sig parts and accessories. And make sure you check out the giveaways tab on our Facebook page because we've only got 3 days left? 4 days left? Something. I don't know what the date is. Oh, hey, Jake, the Minions mic isn't on.
At least he seems to be consistent with the segments that it doesn't get turned on.
It is usually the third segment.
It's usually about the third segment.
Anyway, we're giving away something with Top Gun Supply.
Yes, we are giving away a Streamlight TLR1.
Ah, so if you want some of the lumens, you can have some of the lumens. It's not all of the lumens, but it is free, some of the lumens.
Yes.
So there you go. Check that out at our Facebook page. Right now we're talking with William Petty. Hey, thanks for coming on tonight, William. It's such a serious show. Can't you tell?
I can tell.
See,
I was just about to make the comment about how I was investing heavily in a ballistic company for vests made solely out of ham sandwiches. So,
well, I'm not saying that, see... Before the internet,
I'm thinking we're gonna go. I think we're gonna go somewhere. Don't take the wind out of my sail. But
okay,
I'll
do my best. All right. One of the things that I was trying to demonstrate with that though was that it does not take very much at all to influence a bullet. You know, and if something as easy as that can divert a bullet off of its track and make it keyhole at a target that's 4 or 5 feet away from it afterwards. Laminated auto glass ain't no joke, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question for you, and this is a user question, because one of my Facebook friends, who is a longtime police officer, was asking about how there could be more cover at the rear of a vehicle versus the front. And he actually said it a lot less believing than how I just repeated it, but, you know.
Sure.
He's like, I don't think so. Well, and
I
wanted to get your answer.
Okay, so think about it this way. When people get into engagements around cars...
That's a word that you can say on radio. We're fine with that. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
You know, caveman takes over, and they're trying to put as much between them and whatever's trying to hurt them as possible.
Right.
Well, when you do that, you're actually lining up two panes of glass. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Three pillars or four pillars, depending on how that's working, you know, the size of your car. You've got the engine block down low, and then the tires in line. And what we see is that somebody who's shooting from the front of the car into the windshield, we know because of a little thing like tall science, the rounds are going to drive down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they drive down, unless he's just porting and working the same hole, you know, bad guy is,
yeah,
which is a very, very rare occurrence, and I haven't seen one yet. That laminate glass is going to snag that round and throw it down. So that front windshield is going to hold up as an intermediate barrier much longer than the rear window, which is, you know, tempered glass.
Right.
So there's more to it. You know, I mean, that we go in depth and do it pretty to great extent.
Yes.
Especially in the LE side of the class, because that's more prevalent to, you know, traffic stops and high-risk stops and vehicle assaults and things like that. So a little more relevant to working from the back of the car for the LE side, but there.
Let me ask you this, and I think that when people, and I think I maybe understand the confusion when you say something like that. For a lot of people, when they view a vehicle engagement, they view hiding behind the side of a car with
right.
with fire coming from the other side of the car, even though in reality, and we've got it on video, most of them are going to happen from front, from vertical, from front to back or back to front, right?
Yeah, so I guess it really depends on what your station in life is, right? So if more and more prevalent for law enforcement, I would definitely say, because you have, you know, traffic stops and higher stops and, you know, all of those things come into play. From a civilian standpoint, less likely because it's a crime of profit, meaning that the person has to get to you
right.
or speak their words in order for you to give them what they want, right? So right. we're most vulnerable when we're changing from one environment to the next. So if you think about it this way, in a structure, when we're doing structure work, we're most vulnerable going through the threshold, right? Because we're changing from one room, which is one environment, to the next environment, which is the next room. Same thing for vehicles. So we're the most vulnerable when we're getting out of our vehicle or into our vehicle. So inside the vehicle is one environment and outside the vehicle is another. So depending on whether you're going in and out, that's when you're actually the most vulnerable.
Okay. So just transitional areas, pretty much.
Yeah. I'd say more transitional areas for civilians. And obviously law enforcement is a difference, you know, because you guys are walking up to people's cars or conducting higher stops from their car on another vehicle or doing vehicle assaults. It really just depends on, you know, context. So
Wait. You're not allowed to use the word context, William. That's a bad word on the internet or in this industry.
Well, that's true.
So I guess going back to the ballistic sides of things, one of the things that I hear a lot of is use a hollow point, and then they don't go into any detail as to what that means. Do you want to talk about the differences in construction between modern ammunition and maybe some of the older designs like HydroShock or
Golden Saber?
Yeah, Golden Saber or 9B PLE.
Sure. So we do a pretty extensive ballistic testing through in each of the classes, right? And so it's where you show up with your ammo and your gun, and we see how the rounds are interacting with the intermediate barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not staged. Like, I don't bring you a bunch of ammo. You know, we usually have a pretty good variety because people kind of know what's up as far as, you know, they want to see what, and it's just basic curiosity. Hey, what is my duty round or what is my defensive load going to do in the vehicles?
Right.
Well, time and time again, obviously we see outdated ammo perform, you know, in an outdated manner. So one of the common misnomers out there is that ball ammo is so much, it just works better against intermediate barriers. And that's certainly not the case. Most bonded rounds are going to outperform older ammo, although I will say that the one bonded round that doesn't the one non-bonded round that usually outperforms bonded rounds is HST.
Yep.
So that's not a bonded round, but just does great work. So people kind of get to see for themselves. We still have departments that are issuing HydroShocks. We still have departments that are issuing Golden Sabers. We still have departments that are issuing, you know, old stuff, or somebody will show up with like a bag of like Black Talon or whatever.
Right.
And so, I don't want it to be like, hey, take my word for it, because we have a prime opportunity. You know, most people don't get to get out and actually experience the ballistics firsthand. Mm-hmm. And so it's time and time again, people are like, this is the most eye-opening part of the class, best class, you know, because I want people to be able to, you know, see with their own eyes and actually learn for themselves. It's more of like a workshop portion.
Right.
Because it's one thing for me just to say, hey, these are how the rounds are going to interact, or take my word for it, these are the 16 points of cover. We go for it, man.
Well, and that seems to be the growing trend, which I'm happy to see, is that there's a lot more of the experiential learning where, hey, don't take my word for it, here's what we found, but go and try it yourself, or come out here and try it yourself. And you can actually
sure.
see this stuff as opposed to like the old appeal to authority. Well, I've been doing this for XYZ, and this is what happens, you know?
Right. The problem with that is we were wrong, man. I mean, and I was fed the same, you know, crap for years and years and years before I started figuring out that it wasn't just engine block, it's tires. And the tactics have to make sense to a person, and there has to be like a fundamental understanding, or they're not going to use it when it hits the fan.
Right.
Does that make sense? So even though they come to the class, if they really don't believe it, or they really don't believe what you're saying, then they won't use it when it's for all the marbles. So that's exactly what we try to do in the vehicle class, is that we try to get people to experience and see firsthand, you know, what we're talking about or what I'm talking about, and then we'll build our tactics based off of that. So okay. I think people are sometimes a little confused or a little disappointed when we start off day one and we're not just like running around the car shooting like madmen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a shooting class, you know, it's a problem solving class. So it's just like the low light stuff. You have to understand how it works in order to get the most out of the class.
Well, if it's not salient to someone, or if you don't, you know, like you said, if you don't know why you're doing something, but you're just learning to do it, and then you find out the why afterwards, it's not quite the same. Like you said, see, this is a part of the show where I just repeat what you've said, so I sound smarter. I'm really good at that. I've made a career out of it, actually. But
yeah.
Hey, whatever works, right? So we got about a minute left in this segment. For people that are interested about being safer in the vehicle, is there one thing that they need to do or could be doing that would make things better for them?
Well, I mean, you have your like your pattern response of be vigilant, you know, situational awareness and carry a firearm and things like that. But really, it comes down to understanding the vehicle, and that not all positions or parts of the car were created equal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, I can't go into it within a minute, but you have to know where to work from on that vehicle to increase your survivability.
Okay. Well, that's
if that makes sense.
No, it does. See, what I was just trying to go for here was like a lead into the next segment, so then we could go into the break and it would retain listeners, because that's like something they talk about. I don't know. Hey, look, the break. Right now we're talking with William Petty. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio. This segment brought to you by TacStrike Steel Target System. Makers of the quarter scale steel target and the Archtrend target stand, which are literally the best steel targets and target stands I've ever used. Hit their steel targets with more than 50,000 rounds of rifle, pistol, and shotgun ammunition without a single problem. For more information, visit them at TacStrike.com. I want to say they actually just got the contract to provide the West Virginia State Police range all their steel. So congrats to them. Always happy to see the people that I work with succeed, and they're certainly a good company. So go check them out. Anyway, talking with William Petty. William, are you still there?
I am here, sir.
I don't know why I'd have hung up if I were you, but hey, thanks for not. So we were saying something before the break about something, and I don't remember what that something. Oh, wait. Yeah, I kind of do. So people understanding the different positioning of the vehicle and things like that. The number one tactic that I think gets left out a lot, and I know there was video of it not too long ago that I thought was pretty awesome, is if you're in the car makes a pretty good weapon, doesn't it?
Yeah, so actually, do you know how many grains a vehicle is?
Did you do the math on this?
I did. I did. Well, I'm Asian. I can't help it.
Okay. How many grains is the vehicle?
28 million grains.
Huh.
So, so why use 230 grains when you can use 28 million, right?
Right.
So that's the running. It's not a running joke, but it kind of is.
So 28 million grains at 60 miles per hour is greater than 230 grains at 900 feet per second? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, there are times when, so we talk about, you have like these 11 principles of vehicle CQB.
Yeah.
And principle number one is it's not about the vehicle, it's about the gun.
Right.
Right. The gun makes the bad guy go away. Well, on down in the list, somewhere around in, you know, six or seven, somewhere around there, we actually do talk about 28 million grains versus 115, right? So if you have the opportunity to use the vehicle. Lethal force is lethal force. It doesn't matter whether you're dropping an anvil out of the sky or using a stick of dynamite or using the vehicle with which you control. So,
right.
Granted, it's lethal, you know.
Well, so it was funny. I went down to Georgia earlier last week. Was that last week, Minion? Mm-hmm. Something like that. One of the guys that I was hanging out with, I got to see a lot of my friends, which was awesome because I got a lot of friends down there, and I always enjoy seeing them. But one of the guys that I was hanging out with, a guy named by the name of Jack Clemens, is like 6'7" and 350 pounds and makes me feel tiny. And someone was like made a joke because I posted a photo of the two of us together. He's like, "What would you use for that guy?" And I made the comment like, "Oh, a shotgun." But really in my head, what I was thinking was like semi-truck, you know?
Right.
Like that'd be the
best. If I knew how to drive a semi-truck, that would be – do you know how to drive it so much?
Yeah, I actually drove a 5,000-gallon fuel tanker around an airport for a couple years.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a different thing. Anyway, moving on. Hey, whatever you can get though, right? A vehicle is better than gun if that's an option.
It is. And, you know, a lot of the times you'll see the internet commandos or whatnot – and they say, "Oh, well, why are you shooting them? You should just put the car in drive and drive away." Well, we're on a static range. Like, we can't have cars just driving around. Now, in October, I'm running a 3-day class with Chase Jenkins, and we will actually have moving vehicles for live fire and force on force. So that'll be pretty cool. But that's the exception, not the norm. And most people are there to learn how to utilize the gun as it relates to the vehicle, not learn how to drive over people.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean,
so,
well, and that's probably good. Hey, have fun in the nasty weather that class is going to draw because Chase is there.
Yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
I think Chase and I are cursed, man.
I think it's Chase, and it's I'm pretty sure it's just him. I'm almost 100%, 1,000,000% positive that 60% of the time it's 100% him.
Well, he's obviously not living right. You know, another thing that people don't realize about working around coming to a vehicle CQB class is that it will rid you of acne. So the Lubbock SWAT team was just riddled with acne, Chad Worm especially, and they came to a vehicle class to clear them up. So, shout out to Lubbock.
I'm going to have to call you and ask what that's about once we're not on the air. But so one of the other things that I see a lot of people, when they start talking about shooting from inside of a car or things like that, and I did a video about this. I'm going to give myself a plug here, but, you know, whatever. Is that they don't really think about actually accessing the firearm when they're buckled in. Is there any
sure.
Is there any comments you have on that or whether or not that would even be necessary? Or what are your thoughts?
Well, try verbal judo and angry looks first and mm-hmm. see where that gets you.
Yeah. Okay. So that's if you're buckled in.
No. Well, yeah. You know, a bulk – so I'll end up having running – I'm slated for 38 classes this year.
Mm-hmm.
And only about 5 of them are open enrollment. Most of them are for law enforcement. So from a duty belt standpoint, obviously we want the guys to bridge, which is bucking their hips forward,
mm-hmm.
Which clears the butt of that gun from the car seat,
yeah.
Not that they're a child, but, you know, the car seat.
Right.
To drive the gun out. From a civilian side, you guys have, like, you have the unlimited buffet, right? So you can literally pick any kind of carry position you want. You can mount this as a car. You can stick it in your pants. You can do appendix carry. You can do strong side. You can do small the back. You can do whatever.
Right.
What we find is that when we start getting into the force-on-force portions of it, and I know that Aaron over at Sage Dynamics runs a lot of great force-on-force based civilian vehicle classes. But what we tend to see is that the appendix carry seems to work best for in the vehicle, you know, for your average commuter civilian. So for a lot of reasons, obviously.
Well, it's certainly a little
bit. You know, cross draw is nice, but it also has its limitations as well.
Yeah, and certainly in an environment where you occasionally have to get out of the car, it starts to offer really egregious limitations, in my opinion, for what that's worth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you give something to get something, right? So
yep.
Something that really shines in one particular position is not, you know, it's just a one-shop stop. So
right. So, hey, man, if people What are you doing these days as far as if people want to go take a class with you or are interested in find out more about what you do, how can they do that?
Well, we're just doing a lot of online certifications right now, you know, through live chats.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah. No, but seriously, though, if people listening wanted to get a hold of you or register for a class, I love you so much right now. You have no idea.
88 Tactical, that's the company that I work for. They're based out of Omaha, Nebraska. They're currently building a facility out there. So 88tactical.com will list all of the civilians broken up into civilian and open enrollment classes. And so all of that is there for the taking, man.
Okay. You got a DVD coming out too, don't you?
Yeah, we do, man. Matt from Firelance Media and Shay from 88 Tactical got together and we produced a we spent 4 days filming, and David Reeder from Breach Bang Clear and some of the Recoil folks came out, and they were the students. It's different in that it's like Magpul-esque, and I want to be careful about using that term, but they did a lot to really they were very groundbreaking what they did.
Yeah.
So it's shot in a, and when I say that, I mean to say it's shot in a classroom setting. So you're actually kind of documentary style. You're watching these guys and gals go through the class.
Right.
And there's some cops in there. There's some competitive shooters. There's some civilians. So you kind of get all aspects of it. And we go through, you know, 3 days of vehicle CQB. And that's due to release late October or the 1st of November.
Awesome. I got to interrupt because the music at the end means we're done. But, hey, man, thanks for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate it, brother. Be safe.
Hey, you too. Make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.